God is amazing, right? I'm amazed again how God moves. We sang a lot of songs this morning about light, and that's kind of my subject this morning, walk in the light, in 1 John. And I think it's tremendously important for us in this time, and it always is, for us to walk in the light. And I think it's important for us to also realize the preciousness of the blessings that we have as Christians, and then also to take our candle and light our world. All of us have experienced dealing with people of the world. Yesterday I was sitting outside a place. You probably can't tell where I was yesterday, but I got a haircut, maybe. And there's lots of people who are in need of haircuts. And I was sitting out there, and there was this older fellow came in there, we were sitting outside, and he was kind of cussing and damning, and I thought, wow. But it's interesting the approach that we take in the situations we are in life. He was complaining about that he had to wait, and they told him he could be in there, and la-da-da-da-da, and it's like just a really cheerful fellow to be around. But I thought, you know, here's an opportunity for me to let my light shine. I'm not going to preach to him, because I don't think he'd be open to that kind of thing right then. But to just display the light that is within me. We are definitely affected by what we've come through. We can't. And it varies. I know it does. Some of you have gone to work through all this time and have never been off of work. But for some, it's like we're getting out of our cages, right? And so we're almost like a wild animal out here. No, I hope we're not quite that wild. And yet it's that feeling of freedom, of to be set free physically. And yet I think we can use this time, for the good, for God's good. I've said this probably, I don't know how often, and maybe I've said it to some of you, that God in some ways gave us a pause. Sometimes when we're playing a game with Elijah, he says, pause, and he goes and runs off to the bathroom or something. So it's like, okay, so we had a pause, right? So now it's time for us to push the play button again. Everybody knows that play symbol, right? It's time for us to push the play button again in life and kind of maybe get a little bit more back to normal, whatever normal is. It's a setting on a dryer, right? But it takes effort. I think if we think we can just shrug it off and act like nothing happened, then we're kind of missing the point, aren't we? And here's the thing about it is that every one of us responds differently. We react differently. But there are people who are seriously going through deep, dark depressions. And part of it is because they're not able to see family. They're not able to be with their grandkids or whatever. And right now I think of Judy Bontrager at Goshen Hospital. She had surgery. And I don't think anyone can go in and see her. I don't think even Josie can. I called him Friday afternoon, and I called the home phone, and Rose Yoder answered, and he was out mowing. And at first I thought, well, wow, he's just out mowing. But he can't be there. And I'm sure that it is very, very tough for people like that who are, and even for Judy, it's like, when you're going through things like that, it's just good to have family around you, isn't it? It's like to physically have people around you. And I feel sorry for those people and those people who are in nursing homes and who are isolated, truly isolated. And some people cannot handle that mentally very well. And it's interesting how I think God brings messages sometimes. I think it was last Sunday morning as I was laying in bed, I thought of the sunshine. And I think we've had rain the last couple Sundays, but be that as it may, we have the sunshine of God in our hearts, right? But here's the thing. Sunshine has a way of affecting people. And we'll talk about that maybe a little later as well. And but one of the things it's much easier to get out of bed when the sun's shining, right? I think somebody made the comment this morning, well, it'd have been just kind of easy just to stay in bed on a morning like this. So it's hard to get out of your PJs again, right, and to come back to church. And I know that not all of you are here yet, and so we're missing you as well. And just enjoy being in your PJs this morning. So we have meetings, schedules again. And those are things that we need to kind of adapt to. And like I said, those of you who have been going to work with a schedule, that's not as big a deal. But for even us to have a schedule of coming to church on time and getting up, showering, and getting ready, and making ourselves look presentable, and it takes some effort. But I trust that it's, and on the other hand, I think it's probably an exciting thing as well. It's like we want to do it. We like that fellowship. God made us, I think, people of fellowship. So, as we go through this time, it's important for us to realize also that we have an amazing, endless amount of promises in God's Word. His storehouse is boundless, and it's important for us to tap into that. So, as we think of 1 John, I just was looking at why John wrote this. And one of the things that was shared in the beginning of, says the purpose. And it says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I'll tell you something. For us to know that we have eternal life makes the trials of life seem small. They are real. I'm not going to say that they're not real. They are. But we are affected in different ways. But to know that we have eternal life is an awesome thing. Let's turn to 1 John 1. I think I'll read from the New King James Version, all 10 verses. We could probably also go into the next chapter, but I've decided not to for the sake of time. Okay, that which was from the beginning, and it just kind of starts out a little bit like the Gospel of John, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? And so here he says this again, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, right? It's like that's where we want our fellowship to be. But as we fellowship even with each other, our fellowship with the Father is what enhances our fellowship with each other. It must. It's not the other way around. We don't enhance our fellowship with the Father because of our own goodness or whatever. But we enhance each other's fellowship by our unity and our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. I don't know about you, but that's where it's at. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow, some pretty forceful words there. If we claim we don't have sin, and that could be two ways. It could be we don't have sin as a person who is not a Christian to say, oh, I don't have any sin. But even as us as Christians, I think it's important for us to realize that we are living in a sinful world. We are still capable of sinning, but God is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I think of walking in the light, it's a scientific fact that sunshine or sun exposure releases endorphins. And this morning, I'd just like to talk a little bit about that, about endorphins. And sunlight and serotonin, I think that's how you pronounce it. Exposure to sunlight is thought to increase the brain's release of a hormone called serotonin. Serotonin is associated with boosting mood and helping a person feel calm and focused. We can always be more calm and focused out in the sun, right? But it almost is a thing that is, they said that in the study with mice, I don't know if we're quite like mice or not. Reagan, are we? Probably not. But that it almost becomes addictive, that sunshine becomes addictive. And I don't know if that's a bad addiction or not, but I suppose it could be carried out to the oomph degree or whatever. But if you think about endorphins, the things people do to make themselves feel good, right? People will eat chocolate. That's probably not sinful, unless you eat too much. But people do do drugs. People use sex, pornography, and other things that this world system offers. And you name it, there are probably all kinds of things that people do that in some ways kind of takes them to their happy place or whatever. I mean, in this day and age now, we have a lot of people using marijuana, but it's like drugs and those types of things that help people feel good. But here's the thing. I would like for us to think about the endorphins of the light of Jesus. Is that stretching it a little bit? But if you think about the fact that there is joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit, those types of things are in some ways the endorphins that make our life what it is, to be pleasant. And they are lasting. I thought of the verse where Jesus said, the people who drink of this well, when he's talking to the woman in Samaria, the woman at the well. The people who drink of this well are going to thirst again, but the people who drink of my water or whatever will never thirst again. It's like, where are you turning to find your happiness in this time? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? And the benefits of walking in the light are probably beyond what we have even any idea of totally realizing. But it's a must for us to walk continuously. And as I think of us pushing the play button, I'm thinking of us walking and getting going again. Get up and get going and being intentional about living for Jesus and about living the Christian life and about living not just surviving but thriving. I think so often I'm content with just barely surviving. This past week, I think it was last Sunday morning, I was reading in 1 Samuel 8. And you say, well, how does this compare? How does this have anything to do with us? The children of Israel demanded to have a king. And we think, well, what's the big deal about the children of Israel having a king? But if you look at 1 Samuel 8, verse 6 and 7, it says this, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And I think that's a sermon in itself that maybe I want to tackle a little later, but it's like, who is king of your life? Are you allowing Jesus to rule and reign on in your life? Or are you demanding a king of this world? You want to fix things with the things of this world, the gods of this world, as it were. And if you look at the rest of that chapter, I think it's interesting how he lists what the king's going to demand from you. And I think it's so contemporary. It's like, the things of this world are exactly like that. He will take your daughters. He will take your sons. And that is exactly how the kings and the rulers of this world work. It looks like a good thing, but they will demand your very soul. And so it's important for us to have a king, and that his name is Jesus, and that he is our light. And he is the one who will guide us and direct us in life. What about this thing of an invitation, as we have it here in 1 John? It's an invitation to a relationship, that you may have fellowship with us. John is saying this, and he is referring to, I believe, to the, he's not just, it's not just a singular thing, but it's that you may have fellowship with us. And it's like part of the family. I think that's one of the things that we do, even as I think of us gathering here. There's a longing for fellowship and a longing for us to be together. And then he says this, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. That's where our fellowship needs to be if we are to walk in the light. Okay, so we are... We've been cooped up. Life has been different. And I'm sure that you've battled with, like Linda said, there's confusion because you have all kinds of reports. And I said this before, don't listen to CNN to try to find comfort and peace in your life, because you're not going to find it, right? Because for one thing, you don't know if it's the truth or not. It's probably fake news. But anyway, it's like, if you want to find peace and comfort, go to the source. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you. And I think that's so important, especially in this time, is that our fellowship, that we are drawn in, and also that we realize that we are still sinful people. We have the capacity to sin. And the reason for us, for the fellowship, is what? I love that in verse 4, I believe it is. We are writing these things to you that you may fully share our joy, or that your joy may be full. Is your joy full this morning? Are you struggling with joy? Are you struggling with anxiousness and depression? And I'm not trying here to make you feel bad for doing that, for having that, because it's a real thing. But I think it's one of the things that happens when we are depressed and feeling down and out, is we pull ourselves back. And that's when we need to find someone who we can share with, we can talk with, and say, you know what? I'm feeling kind of low right now. We need a little more sunshine. I need some sunshine in my life. Just a word of encouragement. And even as I thought of that song we were singing, it really hit me. It's like, we are. Jesus said, I am the light of the world as long as I am in the world. I think it's in John 8 where he says that. I'm the light of the world as long as I am in the world. And then there's a place where he says that you are the light of the world. That's us, Christians. We are the light of the world. It doesn't say you should be the light of the world or the light should reflect from. It says you are the light of the world. We're the only Jesus that some people are ever going to see. And for us, I think to shrivel back in a time like this is one of the worst things we can do. This is a time for us to take advantage of the fact that there are a lot of people in this world who are in deep needs. And it's easy for us to forget to share our blessings, whether it's monetary or whatever it is, but to be a people that care for each other. What are some of the observations of John that he says? God is the word of life. God is distinct from the person of God the Father. He told us that we may have fellowship with this God and that we are often introduced into this fellowship with God by the fellowship of God's people. And that's, I hope, what it is. Those who are in contact with us are introduced to the fellowship of God by our demeanor, by the light that is shining through us. One of the amazing things about God is this, that there is absolutely no darkness in him. And if you think about a light, I don't care how small that light is, if you're in a completely dark room and that light is turned on, the darkness cannot overcome that light, can it? You may not see a whole lot, but the darkness has much greater, or the light has much greater power than the darkness. And I think it's important for us to realize that. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God's sinlessness and our relationship with him, those are one of the things that are amazing, and it's hard for us to kind of grasp, is the fact that because of Jesus' blood, we have become righteous. Do you feel righteous? Do you feel like you're a righteous person? I hope you do. And I hope that righteousness, not of your own self-righteousness, but of your own, of the righteousness of God pouring out on us because of what he has done for us. When we make mistakes, it's important for us to realize that God doesn't want to punish us. He already took the punishment on the cross. God wants us to be restored. And he wants us to confess those sins and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And we know that if we say, well, you know what, I don't have any sins, we deny those sins. It says we lie and do not practice the truth. But the amazing thing is this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And I want us to just zero in on that. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what is walking in the light? We often think of walking in the light as doing something, and it probably is to a degree. It's living in obedience to the commands of God. That's part of it. But probably the very, very most essential part of walking in the light is believing that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That is the most important part of us walking in the light, and that is to have that cemented in our hearts, that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And then to live and walking, I believe, walking is an action, and then it's an ongoing thing that we walk and are living in obedience. We struggle with things like confession, don't we? We struggle with things of saying, I'm sorry. But to confess means to say we are in agreement with God's law, his command, and that we have not followed that command. We confess our sins. We are willing to say and believe the same about our sin that God says about it. Right? I don't know if I totally grasp the holiness and the righteousness of God. But if you think about it, me being able to stand before God, faultless, to stand before the throne, it's not something I can do by my own strength. It's something that Jesus did for me and he does for me. It's an ongoing thing. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us. Spurgeon says it this way: treat God truthfully, and he will treat you truthfully. Make no pretensions before God, but lay bare your soul. Let him see it as it is, and then he will be faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I think that's where it's at. It's for us, one of the biggest hindrances is pride, isn't it? We don't want to be, we don't want to disappoint God. We don't want to disappoint people. But we can't be fake before God. We have to be truthful before God. And he will be truthful with us. And that's the amazing sin, or the amazing thing. And he goes on and says, if we say we have not sinned, we lie. And I think that's important for that to be in there. And I think if you look at the next couple of verses in First John chapter 2, it talks about that even more. I'd like to close with this. Romans 15, 1 to 7. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. This is the ESV. And not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. And here's a prayer that Paul had, and I just want to say this to you as well. May the God, verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such a harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Verse 13 also says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And that's my prayer for you this morning, is that you may abound in hope, that you don't look at this thing as a hopeless thing. And I know that there are people who feel like they're in hopeless situations. But my prayer is this, that they would be filled with all joy and peace in believing, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they may abound in hope, and that you all may abound in hope. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your greatness and your power and your love and your mercy on us, that you've given us hope for each new day. You've given us access to a storehouse of blessing. Help us, Lord, to realize that. And then also us, as we have the light within us, have your light within us, that we may share that light with those around about us. We just commit our lives to you. May we honor and glorify you. And may you be praised. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.